conference was recorded on the 14th of September 1972 in the United States.
Of a shock. It's nothing of the sort. No most things that happen to humanity, whatever that form they may take, are often premeditated or prearranged, or if they're in another sense, quite apart from what you're talking about, the music games, most things, in fact I think it's true to say that everything that happens in your world is obviously happening, or has happened, or will happen, because man himself has brought about the very conditions that create the circumstances and the events that follow. Nothing happens just by chance. Nothing is preordained. And everything that takes place is man's own bringing into being in some shape or form. What happened in the Olympic Games? Couldn't have been avoided. I know there are instances or cases where certain things are sidetracked and they don't happen, although there's every reason to think that they could have happened or perhaps in some places should have happened. Sometimes things aren't. It's possible for sometimes some people, perhaps on this side or even on your side, to be used as instruments to intervene to prevent something from happening. But you can be well assured that whatever happens in your world, in some shape or form, or in some way or other, man has brought it upon himself. If man thinks wrongly, then from those seeds, with a stone, will come wrong actions. Whether it is in a personal way, an individual way, or whether it is in a collective way, or a worldwide way, nothing is chance. Nothing just happens by chance. Nothing is ordained or prearranged or preordained. Everything happens because man has made it possible for it to happen. He has shown his deeds that must bring forth fruit, whether it's good or bad. I mean, this is as simple as that. I mean, sometimes people say, well, why should this happen to that person? They're quite innocent. Or why should this happen to someone who's got a blameless life? On the surface, it seems unjust. But it's not necessarily so, because you will see things in a very personal way. Instead of seeing yourselves as part and parcel of all humanity, and that what happens to you or what you do to another must in the long run also affect you. In other words, what you've got to get is your bonuses. But everything happens because you will it to happen, even subconsciously or unconsciously sometimes, but certainly to show the things that make it happen. No one can escape from themselves. And whatever may happen in some shape or form, you have brought it into being. Or if you haven't, to some extent you have made it possible for other people associated with you all around and about you, you have made it possible for it to happen, whatever it may be. Nothing just happens by chance. Things are sown, things are done, things are said. And these things are vibrant things, and realities are things which must, by the very nature of things, have an effect. It's all a matter of cause and effect. And the Olympic Games, which when you analyze it, on the surface may have seemed a very natural, straightforward, spiritual thing, and a foundation of spirit, good spirit, was nothing of the sort. It was really, when you analyze it, in many, many ways, it was a big complex in which money, a vast amount, was involved, a competitive spirit of one nation against another, individuals who use, often innocently and indiscriminately, the whole setup was false. The moment you have falsehood, you have seeds that bring all sorts of things in their wake. You cannot put people together in a competitive way without bad thoughts arising and bad intentions developing and bad acts falling. You may not think that's explained the way what happened, but those sort of things can't be avoided. It happened, and it was unfortunate. It was a dreadful thing. And one thing leads to another. And you'll find that this will reoccur on a larger scale, whether it's in that direction or the other direction. When men sow seeds, he must reap the harvest. And this is what's happening all over the world, whether it's in Ireland, whether it's in Vietnam, or whether it's at different times, or whether it's in a family, or in between two human beings who's professed to love each other. They're all sowing seeds out of certain situations, and from those situations will arise discord, strife, disharmony, sickness, mental, physical, and this is what life's all about. And so people realize that they must not sow these seeds. They must try to live harmoniously, and they must try to do those things which they know to be just right and honorable. Until you get mindful life individually, you can't set the world collectively. You've just got to set your house in order before you start thinking about what goes on outside. The whole world's in chaos because men are in chaos. They're in pain. They're caught up so much with material things that they can't see the reality. They only see the things which are around and about them, the things that are tangible, and the things which they know deep down within themselves don't bring happiness or security, or real security or peace of mind. They're all running after the wrong things. This is what brings tragedy and sickness and ill health and unhappiness and all the terrible things that happen. It's because man's running after the wrong values. Can I answer this question?
In fact, Nicky, by what you said, that I deduced from there that people on the other side were almost aware that some tragedy, what we call a tragedy, was going to occur. So there would be helpers round there waiting for it in a way.
All around the world. Every inch of the world, there are people on our side waiting to help. Whether it's a car accident, a train accident, an aeroplane accident, or someone is drowning at sea, or whether it's an Olympic tragedy, or whatever, thousands of souls on this side who love humanity, who want to give service, are always at the ready to be there at that given moment. They may not be able to do very much in the material sense, and it's not until the moment comes when the individual of the earth can leave the physical body and enter into the spiritual realization that we can do very much. This is the sense of our tragedy. All we can ever hope to do, or so it seems, at the moment anyway, is to help people in a spiritual sense when they're about to pass in the world to give. The great tragedy is that we cannot seem to do very much to help you spiritually while you're on earth. The vast majority of people are so caught up in stuff, are so caught up in their own personal affairs, material affairs, and the affairs of that particular group or country or nation or war or dispute or whatever it may be. They're so full of, well, I've got to say this, but it's so true. There's so much malice, there's so much hatred, there's so much intolerance in the hearts of most of humanity. Even sometimes the nicest of people, they have these moments of rage and intolerance and pettiness and stupidity, but it's very difficult to reach them. We can only reach people when their minds are open to receive, when they begin to realize the true values are the spiritual army. That doesn't mean to say that you've got to neglect material things, or that you've got to shut your eyes to problems which are of the material nature. But all these things can, to some extent, be helped, and they sometimes can be stopped. In other words, what you've got to do is to try to see that you should have balance, that you should put everything into its proper perspective, and that if you want peace, if you want happiness, if you want a realization of what life could be, then you've just got to adjust yourself accordingly, and you've got to give out love. Even though it may be very difficult, even though at times you feel it's almost impossible. And I know it's difficult often to tell the other cheek, but the only way that man will find sanity, the only way that man will find peace, the only way that he'll find harmony, is through telling the other cheek. I mean, wars, they develop Krishna committed of them a few individuals, thousands of people, millions of people suffering the consequence. And it's often called the stupid pride and place and position and false values. The world is thriving, if you can put it that way, in a material sense, entirely and absolutely on false values. The world hasn't realized that the realities are not the things of the earth. They have their position and their place, they're important, but they're not the be all and the end all. They're only an aspect. They're only a very small part of what it's all about. You just got to see things in the proper way. I mean, it seems to me that man just goes on making the same old mistakes, only on a much faster and a bigger scale. Man doesn't learn from the past, unfortunately. He repeats his mistakes over and over and over again, whether it's in a small way or whether it's in a big way. Man, unfortunately, doesn't seem to be capable of putting his house in order. And it seems to me that man is so dissatisfied, and yet at the same time he doesn't want to exert himself to do what he should do or what he knows he should do. He just wants everything to fall into his lap in the material sense without often making much of an effort. And even if he gets what he thinks he should have or want, he doesn't gain real happiness. Indeed, often it makes for more struggles, more uncertainties, more headaches, more problems. Only make that balance and realize that he could live in a material world with a spiritual significance, and that he can conduct his life, and he can conduct not only himself, but have others to conduct themselves in such a way that the world could be changed. There's no need for all that goes on, but man creates it, man sells the seed, and therefore he asks for these troubles and make a sense for him. All the illness, all the sickness, all the things that go wrong in your world can only be traced to man himself. No one else can blame. People say, oh, when we're in trouble, why does God allow this? And why does God permit this? God's got nothing to do with it. He gives man free will. And generations of time pass and he goes on doing the same stupid things and creating havoc and creating even new situations where worse things develop. I mean, this is true. I mean, there's no doubt about this in my mind. But whatever befalls man, in some shape or form, he brings it on himself. He deserves it. And it's the only way he's going to learn any lessons. He may not reap the benefit of his experience and present that may be on earth, but when he comes here, it won't have been in vain. This may not be much comfort to people, but the point is, the truth is, you can't escape from yourself. You can run this way, you can run that way, you can do this, you can run up the bloody ladder and get dizzy. But you can't run away from yourself. That's one thing you'll never do. One day you've got to come up face to face with yourself squarely, and then you'll see, and then you'll begin to understand that it's in your hands and no one else's. You can help other people and they can help you to a certain extent, but it's still falls back on the human individual. To some extent, he must set his house in order, and the house is within himself. And as Christ said, that it's within oneself, the power is within oneself, and this is the whole truth of the matter. Put it right with yourself, and you'll get right with the world to some extent. You may not be understood by the world, you may be derided by the world, you may be kicked up the arse. If you don't know the fault, but if you're right with yourself, you're on the right path, mate. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
the same
question. What about earthquakes?
Regarding the actual
phenomena.
Oh, well, of course, earthquakes, things like that are natural phenomena. But then again, let's face it. What are we talking about? All laws are natural. These are all natural laws.
Yes.
Well, these things are talking about the natural laws. If you disturb nature within yourself, and then nature will rebel, and certain things will have time, place, or happen. I mean, all these things about this business that goes on, the sickness, it can all be put down through offending nature's laws. It may not be you that's done it. You may say this is unjust. But it's true to say that the sins of the fathers do fall on the children. This may sound unjust, but it's true. These sins are hereditary as well. And these things, you see, if you can see yourself not as part of the family, that is a father and a mother or an uncle and aunt, if you can see yourself as part of the whole human race, if one aspect of the human life suffers from some new disease or whatever develops, then they would eventually, even if it's only one other person getting loose in another part of the world, they would stay there. You cannot run away from each other. You cannot run away from natural consequences of whatever may happen. If you're going to, as you are, polluting the atmosphere, polluting the seas, polluting the ground, in other words, you go on polluting people's minds, you pollute the atmosphere that you breathe, you pollute the ground from which grows your food, and the seas, everything. But of course man is going to suffer. Man has made this, nobody else. God didn't invent the motor car. God didn't invent the airplane. God didn't invent the train that kills people and crashes. Everything man has brought on himself. Yes. I'm not so sure in some states I was, but that's not even been earthquakes on. I want to say, I don't know. But it never surprised me.
Well, don't for the moment, underground atomic test
held. Oh, well, I had earthquakes for atomic bombs.
Yes, I know, but I mean that's not healthy. But then, that, as you said, it's a natural phenomenon. It's something to do with the set thing.
You can't disturb nature without nature having its revenge. It's not a nice word, but it's a natural law. You can't affect nature without nature taking some reaction. It's going to happen.
No, but nature sometimes affects itself, doesn't she? You know, like an earthquake.
Yeah, well, that's the nature that probably changes too.
Yes, of course.
I don't know, the same for ions and ions and ions as you turn it a time. I mean, unfortunately, I don't see how you can get away from this. I mean, man creates stupid ideas, and he creates mythological things, and he thinks that they are realities, and then he allows himself to get caught up in something, and then a group of people become a whole mass of people, and that mass of people think they're right and everybody else is wrong, and then you get big organizations out doing help getting each other, and then you get massacres because this lot can't agree with that lot. The whole of the world is full of stupidity, of man not realizing the great potential of the power of the spirit within himself. And if you would follow up that power of the spirit and get rid of all the stupidities that create disruptions, and then the whole world could be changed. Anyway, I don't think it's posh. I mean, I'm probably.
Looking at
I think I'm not. But it distresses us at times. It distresses me sometimes. You know, I think to myself, oh, God, what's the good, you know, and God. You talk to people, you try to help people, you comfort people. And then you say to yourself, what are we all doing with it? Nothing.
I think fundamentally, you see, the majority of people, I put myself in this, are selfish.
Yeah, well,
but not always conscious of being selfish.
I mean, you run down the Australian Army, but it does a lot of good. A lot of those people work very hard and give themselves. We know that at the higher end, that there's all the money involved and all that, posh, you know. But the point is that it's the people, and yet they have got something dynamic to make them be the way they are, to do the things they do. It may not be 100% correct in a sense. I mean, they've got a germ of truth, but that germ of truth gives them a dynamic meaning. And what's going on with spaces? That's what worries me.
Why do you believe in the selfish movement?
Well, because I think they're typical. And you know, the Salvation Army and the social system, I think they're a good example. I mean, they do wonderful work in the world to help people less fortunate and struggling people, poor people and sick people. And you know, I sort of feel that, I don't know, everything we tell people, we try to give them conviction when we give it, and we uplift them to some extent, but very few people try to do anything, neither does it change their lives in the way which it should. I mean, we can look around us all the time, and we say in spite of all that we try to do, and the comfort we try to give, and the help, but people haven't changed very much. They're still at each other's throats, and you know, I don't know, it's very disheartening.
It'll go on.
Oh, what else can you do?
Vicky, where is karma coming for all this?
Oh, no, who's he?
In a perfect world, would that
mean? Well, it's just what he's been talking about, the world of
consciousness. Yes, the point is that it's so for us to have people who are living in a town that is hit by an earthquake. Is it preordained that these souls, all those souls...
No, nothing.
No, because of a series of actions on the part of themselves or their friends. It's not that they've been chosen to be
called,
but it's as a result
of the actions. A lot of people just don't like this idea of dying. Yeah, and they know that when they get to a reasonable age, that they're almost certainly going to keep the bucket. But it's an extraordinary thing how even people of a religious nature who are deeply involved, you might say, and are probably very good people, there is this sort of terrible fear. They don't seem to see death in the right way. Death is not as terrible. I mean, you may say to yourself it's dreadful when something happens and that little village is wiped out by an avalanche or whatever. But it isn't as terrible in reality as it may seem in the thinking about it. You see, I think that people put too much store on living in your world in a material sense, and therefore the idea of death is horrific to them. Something that, oh well, we know it's going to happen, but it shouldn't happen to your 80-year-old or 90-year-old. Just because the person dies young, then you might say to yourself, well, they haven't had much chance to express themselves or evolve. And not necessarily so. You see, I think that you put too much store. This is the whole tragedy, I suppose, that man puts too much store on the short duration of his life, even if it's 100 years, it's still short in time. I think that one has to look back on oneself, that death is not the terrible thing that it appears, and it's not the length of one's earthly life that's important. The fact is that your life is merely an interlude. In some cases, it may have to be repeated. But the point is that it is, in a sense, in time itself insignificant, and yet it is important, no one denies that. I think man puts too much store on the material. That's his tragedy. And anything that happens in a material way that seems untoward seems a terrible tragedy. What may seem a tragedy may not necessarily be so in reality. It may be something that was necessary, although it was not ordained. And the circumstances of it may be brought about by some disaster, which you might have even said was the most natural disaster to do with nature itself. But I think the whole tragedy is that man puts too much store on materialism, on material things. And everything that happens in that life of yours is vitally important, and everything else is insignificant. Actually, in a way, you've got the wrong end of the stick. What man should have is balance. The man is not balanced. If you can think of everything as real significance and realize the importance of your world, but it is a place in which you have to learn certain lessons. You may not necessarily learn them in one lifetime. You may have to come back. In some cases, people do. But don't judge things only on this material level. This is a tragedy. Everybody thinks everything's a tragedy because it's material. Often it is a tragedy. It should never happen. It's true. Certain wars and terrible things that happen to individuals will not happen. But man creates the setup. Man creates the staging of it and brings it into being. Actually, man all the time is realizing that he has tragedy. Man doesn't realize this. He acts in a kind of way, though Shakespeare said, master stage, and the men and women merely fail. And he's perfectly true. All the time, you're getting ready for next year's performances in your own personal lives and in the world, love. The tragedy of love. Man is creating a situation. He's organizing things, he's stage managing it. I mean, all these things don't just happen. They happen because man prepares them, man organizes them, man arranges them. He may not always be conscious of what he's got to say, or what he's got to do. But somewhere along the line, everything is organized. Organized by man himself in advance, and the rest follows after. But you can't get away from it. This is what's happening all the time. Man is organizing what is going to happen in the not far distant future, and he can't get away from it. If we sow seeds, they've got to come up in due course, as weeds or flowers, according to what he's sowing. The point is, you can't escape from yourself, whether you will like it or whether you don't. whatever happens in your world, in some shape or form, man has made a contribution towards bringing it into being. Whether it's sickness or illness, or whether it's war, or whatever it may be, what you're saying, it only gains. Hatred, malice, intolerance, wrong thinking brings forth wrong action. And wrong action brings disaster and tragedy, and bloodshed and unhappiness. Man does all this himself, nobody else does it.
One point would be observed, I think, with a lot of people, that it's not so much dying that they don't like to think of, it is the process of dying, whether there is pain in someone.
Well, this is a thing
that I'm saying.
Well, naturally, nobody wants to suffer.
Someone in an avalanche, okay, they might not worry at all about dying. But if they are impaled on something or something like that, and they know they are dying, and they're dying in great agony and pain, this is not helpful, is it?
No, I'm not saying it's helpful. You're suggesting one man is helpful.
No, but I mean, but that's what I think lots of people are concerned with. They are concerned with the pain and the process of dying.
Yes, of course they are. But it's human and natural that you do not want to go through agonizing pain. No one denies this. But the point is that there is no doubt in my mind that way back in dim time, when man was perfect, at least there was not many of the things that you now call tragedies happening. Man hadn't reached the stage where he was creating or setting up situations, whether they were to do with health or whether they were to do with various things that happen in the world through religion and intolerance. Or whether it is from national point of view, of wars and what have you. I mean, you say your progress. You say that you have got to a higher peak, or these people assume they have.
Right.
Where they're highly intelligent and all the rest of it. Well, science has made great strides forward. But this is stupid. It may be in some sense in advance, but it isn't in a spiritual advance. It isn't an advance that really brings man to any real form of happiness. Or the realization of truth. The whole point is that man is constantly creating new situations, creating new things which bring in their way all manner of problems and troubles and uncertainties. These things all develop because man, I'm not saying that man shouldn't be inventive, that man shouldn't be progressive, he's intended to be, obviously. But most things, or a lot of things that man brings into being, he's still using them for the good of humanity. He uses them for the destruction. I mean, you cannot get good out of evil. I feel very strong on some of these things because I think that man is all the time experimenting. He's using other people. Or if he's not using other people, he's using the animal kingdom for their ends. He needs nothing of torturing thousands of helpless little creatures for his own end. I mean, no good can come of this. Only another form of evil will come from it. All right, you think you find a cure for something, do you? Don't kid yourself. Some may be cured by that, but from that will come all sorts of offsprings and offshoots which will be detrimental to humanity. New things will develop which man never thought could exist, which will be diabolical. I am convinced that no good will ever come from man's inhumanity to none, or man's cruelty to the less fortunate or the defenseless. Love is the only predominating factor that will bring into your world the realization of what life is all about, and what the will and the intention of the supreme power means. The tragedy in your world, as long as it can find, or think it can find, some sort of way out of a difficult situation, which is not going to be too involving, or it's not going to
be too self-serving.
Well, the whole tragedy in your world is that man thinks only of self. He doesn't care how he gets what he wants as long as he gets it. He doesn't care who suffers as long as he's all right. He doesn't care how many thousands of innocent creatures are tortured to death as long as he is cured. Why should man consider that he's so important? I mean, I know that man is important. But you're all part of the same creation. You're all part of God's creation. And until you can learn to live in harmony and love together, until you can sacrifice yourselves willingly for the good of others and for the realization that you're all working towards a certain point or goal, and you can do it in harmony and in love and in brotherhood, until you get the right aspect of these things, of course you'll have hatred, malice, intolerance. Of course you'll have wars and suffering and cancer and all the terrible things that man has created. Man is suffering because he has made it so that he will suffer. He brought it into being through his own stupidity, his own ignorance, his own foolishness, his own sense of ego and his own importance. And he doesn't realize that he is the fundamental and the spark in the divine heaven. He doesn't realize that he's only a minute part of a great whole. And when he realizes that until he loses himself in love and in true service, he won't find real peace, real harmony, and real understanding. Man has got to change. And until he begins to change and think of change and bring change into being, there's no way out for him and his suffering. And whatever man suffers, he in some shape or form has got it of himself. Now I'm going.
Mickey,
Marty.
What about the person being a blessing and giving blood to save someone's life?
Well, it's your blood, and if you want to give a part of blood, help somebody, good luck to you, mate.
Thank you.
You're giving some of your way to somebody else.
Thank you. It is helping.
Well, you're taking money in because you're giving them yourself.
Mm.
Well, anyway, as I said before, love one another.
Close to that.
Love one another. It's the simplest thing, and the most wonderful thing, and perhaps in some ways the most difficult thing. But it's the only answer. This is the only way. Come on.
Come on.